We are in our second week of a sermon series called What's the Point? We started that just last week when we just looked at the general question of what is the point to life? What's the point to our existence? We asked a lot of questions about what the point is in terms of all kinds of things. I've asked myself, what's the point to playing golf this week? Because I've had a couple of opportunities and I wonder, really, what's the point? Some of you have maybe had bigger questions like, what's the point to going to work when the environment's so dicey? What's the point to being loyal to an employer when it seems like there's no loyalty in return? Maybe you've had faith questions of what's the point? What's the point to singing? What's the point to praying? What's the point to reading God's Word? Last week we asked you if you wouldn't mind to actually kind of give us some feedback on this topic. And we got some interesting responses. Your bulletin insert, your blue one this morning, is a response to the message. If you want to follow along with the thoughts I have today, feel free to follow along with that. Last week, the bottom portion of that was something you could write on, fill out, and turn back in. And we got some great responses. But I was amazed at the percentage of the responses that dealt with the topic of death and suffering. I mean, I knew that was something that would be on many of our hearts. Many of you have had to suffer through some pretty significant losses. The loss of a daughter, the loss of a son, a miscarriage. Some of you have gone through very difficult things in your life with cancer and multiple issues surrounding your physical body. And so I was just reading your responses and just amazed at that percentage. Well over a third of them dealing with that topic alone. So I felt very impressed this week to just deal with this topic and look straight on at what the idea of what the point is to this area of suffering. So that's what we're going to look at today. What's the point to suffering? What's the point to pain? What's the point to death? And what's the point to the human condition that we live in and the struggles that we go through in every way? Now, I just want to stop real quick and tell you, this isn't one I signed up to preach. In 15 years of ministry and the last few years of being able to preach a little bit more often and being your pastor for only 9 months, I mean, when you list the topics that I like to preach on, this isn't going to rank one of the top ones. I mean, this is a tough question that we have to ask ourselves. And yet, I think it's one that's in the forefront of many of our minds. And so I think it's worthy of our time and our attention. And I don't know that I'm going to answer every one of your questions today. As a matter of fact, the disclaimer right out of the gate is, I likely won't. But I hope and pray that our hearts will be open to God's Word as we consider what the point is to our human condition when it comes to suffering and pain. I'll tell you a story, a little bit of something that I think formed a huge part of my teen years. I'm the youngest of four kids. I don't know if I've ever shared that with you before, and I don't even know if it's all that important. But my oldest brother is 10 years older than me. My next closest sibling is 7 years older than I am. So in some ways, in many ways, and probably many of your families are similar, I kind of feel like the other kid. You know, I've got these three other siblings that are really tight in age, and they lived in a different era. You know, they kind of grew up in the Brady Bunch era, and they wore, you know, the funky clothes. I came through a slightly different era, but right on the tail end of that. And relationally, you can feel the separation between 7 years between us. But the cool thing that came out of being the baby of the family was that at 13 years of age, I became an uncle. And to me, that was pretty cool. I mean, going into middle school, and I had someone that was eventually going to call me uncle, I thought was pretty all right. My sister got married fairly young and had Chase very early on in her marriage. And this kid was the light of our family. Having never had a younger sibling, I didn't know what it was like to have a baby around that often. And so I was willingly and gladly taking care of him whenever I could. As a matter of fact, I remember one day when my sister called and she said, could you watch him for a couple of hours? And I went out to the house. She picked me up, took me out to their house. And I was watching him. I was actually on the phone with somebody at the time, but I was watching him. And he got up in the middle of the room without anybody's help, no couch, no chair, no table, and he walked. And I was aware enough to know That hadn't happened before. You remember when your kids did that? I mean, you hold their hands for so long, right? And you're just wishing the day that they'll let go. About the day they let go, you wish that they'd grab a hold of it again, right? And hang on. Well, I remember that day when my sister, whose name is Tammy as well, I have a thing with the name Tammy, apparently. But when my sister came home, I said, "Hey, has Chase ever like got up in the middle of the room, helped by nobody and walked?" She's like, "No, he hasn't done that yet. Hasn't shown much interest." I gloated a little bit to my big sister. "Yeah, he just did that. It was so cool, and I got to watch it. Watch it. He'll do it again." So Chase and I and all of our family, because he was the first grandchild on our side of the family, he was just a special guy. I wish the story just kept getting better from there. But the unfortunate truth was about a year from that point, when he learned to walk a little too well. And one day he walked into the path of a vehicle. And at 19 months of age, our family was slammed into a situation that we didn't want to be a part of. I mean, there was not one of us that said, "Thank you, God, for this tragedy. Praise be your name." We were angry. My mom was in the hospital recovering from a major operation when this took place. And you know what happens to mothers when their daughters are dying inside? She checked herself out. She went and found her daughter. And in an era when this particular surgery would take 2 to 3 weeks of recovery, my mom was throwing a funeral for her grandchild. This kind of stuff shaped me. And I was searching for a God that I was just playing with for a long, long time. And I know that in sharing my story about Chase, knowing that it wasn't his fault, knowing that it was nobody's fault, knowing that the reality still was that he was gone, sharing a story like that isn't uncommon. And I know that as I share my story, you're thinking of your story. And I know there's something of great loss in your life too, whether it's close family member or yourself or at least someone you know. I know that suffering is common to all of us. And I know that it's a pain that cannot be avoided no matter how hard we try or no matter how good we are. So I share my story with you only to let you know that this is something that I think we all can identify with. That we all have the pain in our life of something that has caused us to question the very existence of God. That's questioned our ability to sing a song that proclaims that He is more than enough when we're really quite angry and we're really quite lost at why God would do such a thing. What's your story? Was it a car accident? Was it a doctor's diagnosis? Was it a tragic death? Was it the loss of your eyesight or the loss of your independence? Was it the reality of chronic pain with no cure? Is it a bad marriage or divorce in your past? Is it a lost child to sin or a broken relationship that will not heal? Is it cancer? Is it Alzheimer's, diabetes, MS, arthritis? Is it a lost job and a lost identity? Is it physical or mental abuse? Is it financial stress? The pending loss of a home, a broken down car, and a pile of debt? What's your pain? What's your suffering? What's your human condition that has caused you to ask God, what is the point of all of this? I had to ask, what's the point to the experience of being a widow? What's the point of having the poor? What's the point of orphanages being overflowed? Followed by willing fathers and mothers who would take those children at a heartbeat, but seem to can't get to them because of legalism and red tape. What's the point to those born with birth defects? What's the point to our men and women in harm's way, our warriors, our soldiers? What's the point to the mentally challenged of our society? those dealing with schizophrenia, bipolar, or depression? What's the point to the natural disasters that are the headlines of our news agencies these days? Did you know there were fires in California this year? I feel like sometimes they could just repeat the news story every summer. People, there will be fires in California next year. That, I promise you. There probably will be an earthquake or two. Don't be surprised. I was amazed. I looked up again the death toll of that amazing tsunami that hit Indonesia. Can you believe it's been nearly 5 years since that happened? I watched a graphic of the shockwave of that earthquake that caused the tsunami. Cannot imagine the magnitude that literally in the blink of an eye, 230,000 lives were lost. Can you understand the magnitude of 250,000 lives lost? Most of them not even recovered. I can't. 1.7 million people in the flash of an eye, in an instant with that tsunami, on multiple continents were displaced from their homes for months, and many have never been able to return to this day. What's the point? What is the point of a hurricane that peaks at the right time and hits right at a city wall, a city that somebody should have never built because it's below sea level? But nonetheless, what's the point of an earthquake or a hurricane that devastates to that magnitude? Nearly 1,900 lives lost in Katrina. Over $100 billion spent in recovery, and we're not even close to being done. What's the point to this level of suffering? What's the point? Why are we subjected to this kind of pain? Well, once again, I've started off our sermon by not encouraging one of us. But that's where we are. That's what we often think about. That's what our friends and family members who don't walk in faith want to ask you who come to church. That's what they want to ask us when they know that we seek God. And they say, what kind of God would I want to follow? A God that does that stuff? You've got to give me something better than that. Friends, that's the front line of evangelism, is understanding these questions of what's the point. What is God up to when this stuff happens? Well, what astounds me as I think about this is that this is not a new argument. This is nothing new for our world. As a matter of fact, I began to look online to what the life expectancy was in the different eras of our world's existence. In the Roman Empire, the average life expectancy, do you have a guess? 40? 30-some, that's right. 30 years old. I'm an old man. Now, it's not because people lived to 30 and died. It's because of the level of infant and children deaths would skew the number so radically. I read where when a child reached puberty in this era, it was a celebration. Because at that moment, there was a much higher percentage of reaching adulthood to the fullest extent than there was before that moment occurred in their life. Can you imagine living under the total fear of having a child and just praying that they survive? I mean, we have that to a degree, don't we, parents? We always worry about our children. You know, Luke, probably when you put your new baby girl down to bed, you're praying, God, protect her tonight because she's frail. She's beautiful, but she's frail. And apparently she was crying, so she's not in here. Like her daddy, always crying. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But we worry about our kids. But can you imagine having that level of worry when they're young, if they'll survive into their adolescent years? It didn't get much better in the medieval times. The average age became 35. No doubt war and diseases played a major contributing factor in that. Early on in the 20th century, it was still 40 years of age. The average life expectancy of our world, 40 years. And it was getting a little bit separated between the poor who are dying younger and the wealthy who are having access to better conditions, living longer. And that's why the age began to increase. Even at the beginning of our previous century, 1900s, the life expectancy of our nation was 50 years old. And so now we look at someone when they pass away and we say, oh, they were so young. Our perspective is a little small when we understand how far we've come, isn't it? The plight of humanity, the human condition, has